Our reading in Isaiah began chapter 65, verse 17. Let me read that again for you. The Lord says, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." Creating a new earth. Not remembering what had come before. Some of you may know, maybe not all, that recently I've been in a kind of, these past few weeks, been evaluating and reevaluating my life because I had been sick and didn't know what was going on with my health. And my doctors were, you know, blood tests and all those things. And I didn't know for a while what was going on with me. All I knew that I was losing a lot of weight. And I probably did the worst thing that you should do when you're sick is that I went to Google and looked up my symptoms. And of course, Dr. Google gives you death, sneeze, death, you know. But I did that, and I guess I bred fear in my heart, you know, relatively young. I have a wife, two children, a third on the way, due in March. In some ways, I feel like I'm at the beginning of my journey. Or maybe the close middle, who knows? I was very afraid. You know, my wife, well, she's a widow already. So she was also afraid. She didn't want to go down that road again. Doctors were being a little evasive, you know, maybe for liability reasons. But in my head was cancer. That's one of the main reasons when you're losing a lot of weight, that's what's happening. And I was confronted with a reality that is actually true for all of us, how fragile we are, how short our time actually is in this world. We don't know. We don't get to choose when we're born, and we don't choose when we die. I think about my wife's first husband. He was 26, died in a car crash. All three of them were, my daughter, she's 7 now, but she was only 2 months old. And she was in the car with my now wife. And Josh and I were in seminary, first year together. He didn't know. I didn't know him that well, to be honest with you. And I thought, when I saw him in class, when we had one class together, I said, well, he seems like a really cool guy, but I'm really busy, and you know, I'm in a new city, new school, and likely I'll catch him in second year when our classes shrink and we get to know each other more. I remember thinking that. And I didn't know that summer would be the last one for him. No one did. Only God did. And we're fragile. And there's so much that we don't know of each other. I know that in this room, if you've lived long enough, you've been really disappointed by people in your life. Maybe close friends. Maybe really close family. There's been hurt. You've been hurt. And that hurt hasn't been addressed. No deserved apology given to you. Or if it has been given to you, it's always a half apology, not really owning up to what they've done. Or none at all. And you carry that. I do. I have my story, and I don't think that mine is that unique. I know we all do. And there's some hurts that we carry that no one knows. Only we do. And so each of one remembers, but we're these silos of memories of hurt, of loss. And I suspect, as you get older, you try to make some kind of peace with the fact that you won't have those issues addressed. Maybe the person that hurt you has passed away. Maybe the relationship's so broken, you can't imagine having a kind of conversation where a measure of healing or understanding takes place. And yet God says in his word that there's going to come a time when all things will be made new. And all things that we remembered will be healed. Now we hold that, and that's the basis of our hope. If you're a Christian, that's the basis of our hope. That what happens here in this world doesn't define our ultimate destiny. Whatever happens here, it doesn't have the last word. The end is defined by Jesus. If you think of time, your very life, as a road in one direction, at the end of that road, for a Christian, the end is not uncertain, because Jesus stands there with open arms, ready to welcome, eager to forgive and ready to welcome us. But here, maybe in the middle of the road for many of us, we hold our hearts with the pain, with the loss, with the uncertainty of how to resolve those. When Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and he tells them, he's talking about the end of time. He's predicting the future. Wars, pestilence. And at one point he says, no rock will be left unturned. No rock. I've had some conversations in the past month. I spend my time with, especially non-Christians, talking to them about faith and spirituality. But also I talk with parishioners. I serve at two churches here in St. George's, but also at St. Michael's in Canmore. And there's a theme that I've been picking up in these conversations where I think understandably people wrestle with, here I have my story, my hurts, my loss, my few joys, my many defeats. And God is so big, creates the universe, and he's out there somewhere. Why would God really care about me? Why can I trust that prayer works? The difference between me and God is infinitely greater than me and an ant, and I don't care about what ants are thinking, what they're feeling. I understand that. It sounds like loneliness. In the end, no one's really there for me. And I appreciate these folks who've said this with me. It shows an amount of courage to speak the truth of what they're experiencing. I think the truth is we all feel that. Maybe sometimes we feel shy of even praying because we don't want to bother God. He has more important things to do. We have our hearts. We have our story. We go out there. Maybe some of us deal with it by smoking lines of coke, crushing loud drinks, forgetting for a bit, overworking, overeating, whatever our strategy is to deal with that ache. But Jesus says, no stone will be left unturned. Where are all those stones? Our life, a layer of those stones. And God is saying, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what you've experienced, even the things that no one knows, I do. And one day, we're going to open the chapter of that book. And the justice that you've long desired, the apology that you deserve, the healing that you're hungering for, you'll get it. That's what Jesus is saying. But why? Why, if we're so small and God is so big, why would he take the time? Why would he care? I've been reading this book by, now he's passed away, an Anglican priest. His name is W.H. Vanstone. He doesn't have many writings, and his books are very small. I take it that he was a consummate pastor, but also a philosopher. But he wrote these little books, and although they're small, they're incredibly dense. And, the mental acrobatics that he's making to explain God's love is actually fantastic. I'd recommend this book for you if you ever get a chance. It's called The Risk of Love. And in it, he describes in the 1940s or early 50s, he goes to this new area in London, England. And it's a new development, new neighborhood. And he's been assigned to work there as a priest. And he walks the town trying to meet people, but he quickly feels that they don't really need him. The shops and the cafes and the buildings are very new and modern. Everyone's dressed really nicely. And they're always on their way to something. So he got life figured out. And he ends up walking the streets and he feels like a relic of a different age. What could he offer? And in his work as a small church priest, two children come to him. they have their school break, but they've been assigned to do a project of some kind, and they don't know what to do, so they ask the priest, hey, what do you think we should do? He doesn't know, but he says, you know what? There's this beautiful area with a little waterfall near where we live. Why don't you make a little model of that? And he gave them some old paint, recommended they go to the outside area, pick up some twigs, some rocks, some leaves, and make a model of this little park. And it says that the kids agreed, not because they're excited to do it, more out of respect for the fact that he gave them an assignment. And they get to work in the church basement and they start building. And then during the weekend, they're there all the time. They get so passionate about this little park model they're making, and they skip meals, they're so important. And they start really caring for this little model. They're very secretive, they don't show it. Only a few people are allowed to come in, only if the kids believe that these adults have something to contribute to this little model. And at the end, they invite the priest in to show what they've done for the weekend's work, hours put in for these children. And it is a little model, using twigs and rocks, old paint, little pebbles with moss painted on it. And he looks at it. And he says, on the one hand, you look at this model, it's not worth anything. The rocks and the twigs. The children, you know, they've done their best, but the children are not professionals. This couldn't possibly be worth much. He said, on the other hand, this little model is of infinite worth because those children have poured their heart into building it. You can see the care they've taken, the concern they have when they've had to go home to make sure that it's taken care of and no one can mess with it. They've loved that little part. They started with indifference, but by the end, he can tell they've put their everything into that little model. And to him, that was, he was learning what God loved in that moment. The truth is, yeah, we're humans. We're in this world. And each of us has a mixed bag of some of the good things that we've done in this world. And also the bad things we've done, especially when we hurt others. Each one of us is part of someone else's story. We may not even know it. And in that story, we've caused hurt. We've caused weeping. That's the truth. We are all interconnected. We feel like silos, but we're actually all affecting the other. Some of the time, we do know when we hurt somebody. Maybe now, this morning, we're remembering we should apologize and repent. There's other things that we don't know when we've hurt them. I guess the point is, although we lack that self-knowledge, when we win it, when we gain it, it's so costly when we gain wisdom in this life. We're not valuable because we're aware, or because we apologize, or because we've done good work. We matter because God has poured out his love into this world and into our lives. Jesus said, no stone left unturned. He's saying to you and to me, you specifically matter. And you have an infinite value. Of course, we're going to take the time one day to open the books of your life. And the hurt, and the loneliness, and the despair that you felt will not disappear into the emptiness of space. We are going to deal with that. There will be healing. There will. In the Christian tradition, we call that judgment, which often it's terrifying words because we don't mind talking about it. Because I think what we do is when we think judgment, what we're actually experiencing is condemnation. Judgment means I'm going to be condemned. In the Bible, that is not the case. Judgment is a positive thing. It means that the hurts you've had will be addressed. The tears that you've had in the loneliness of your room that no one knew about, God was there. And one day the people that need to know about that will. You hear me? And if you're a Christian, you believe that. That is the foundation of our hope. And that is the motivation that pushes us forward in life. Past season, for example, we've been learning about our Canadian history. And God's justice has been unfolding in this world, and we've been learning about the injustices committed against our Indigenous sisters and brothers. Right? Now, we've learned some. And now we're hearing and we're learning. Hopefully, we're trying to move in a newer and healing direction, right? But the truth is also that although we have some stories, what's occurred there, there are many other stories that we don't know about and likely won't know. That's sad. And if you think of the span of human history, thousands of years of nations, cultures, communities, families, individuals, stamped out by the strong and the powerful, who no one spoke for them. And it's happening today in our world right now. Likely in Ukraine, South Sudan, stories you and I will never know. But God knows. And one day we will hear those stories. And where we need to say, I'm sorry, we will have to say, I'm sorry. It's not just hearing the I'm sorry, we will have to say. And justice will be done. So I want to leave you with this. In light of that truth, no stone will be left unturned. How does that truth shape your life today? What do you do with this? Do we just sit back, put the car in neutral, and just glide into eternity? I never get the impression from Jesus that's what we're meant to do. And if you're confused on what you should be doing, let me give you one. Mute the cell phone. No. Let me give you one. For a fact, there may be a rare exception, but I don't know in this room. We've lived a little too long, and some of you, I'm a child, that's okay. There's someone you can't say I'm sorry to. That's a fact. There's someone you need to apologize to. Maybe you've been holding back that apology for years. Take today as a reminder from God, hey, do it now. I'm with you. Don't wait till the end. Do it now. It's going to happen either way. And as you say that apology, and you do it in the name of Jesus, but I don't want to do it. I don't think I want to apologize to my mother. That's me. But when I do it, it will be in the name of Jesus. And when you do that, God will show you the other stones that you need to flip in your life. And as you're doing that, you are becoming an agent of God's love and peace in this world, which is something desperate. So my friends, don't let this Sunday morning be a moment of near Christian piety. Let it be a time when you're motivated to do something this week. Not only for our great good, but for God's greater glory. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that in the midst of our loneliness, our tears, our despair, you don't ignore us. You don't overlook us. You are always near, close at hand, just waiting for us to turn to you for encouragement, for support, for love. And you never withhold. You always do. You're always pouring your life and your love into us. Only we turn to you with open hearts, open hands to receive. God, help us to trust you. Help us to look at your life and be encouraged to be different. Help us to say I'm sorry to the people that we need to say I'm sorry to. Help us to become agents of life and love in this world. In your name. So we pray this and we ask you this and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.